Former 49er coach, current Michigan coach, Jim Harbaugh on the national championship game that he TiVo'd and fell asleep to. And I kind of understand why, Nate, you mentioned Philip Rivers in your update.
Phil.
Noted, noted dad of many Phil Rivers.
American.
Well, fertile Myrtle there, quarterback of the Chargers. Here's what I didn't know. Jim Harbaugh just had his seventh child.
Yeah.
Of all the things
what?
I
what?
Dude,
all the
Jim knows
do,
the drill. Hey, listen, let me tell you something.
Literally.
If you're going to get it done to you by Jim Harbaugh, he's going to be in there until he's done.
Seven.
Repeatedly.
Seven children.
He does not quit.
I mean, isn't the rap on Jim Harbaugh, though, that he doesn't finish the job? My goodness gracious. The Dallas and Green Bay divisional game this weekend happening, and Scott Kaplan will be on the sideline. He's also got his radio show on the Mighty 1090 in San Diego, a city that I won't speak for everybody here, but I think most people in Sacramento are feeling for right now. Scott, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Well, we're curious because we're hearing that as we speak, Dean Spanos, if you believe reports, is having a staff meeting. And if you further believe those reports, he's telling everybody on his staff that the San Diego Chargers are moving to Los Angeles. What is your take on this? Does this seem, do you believe the report, Scott, that the Chargers will be announcing today they're gone?
Well, I suppose I believe the report because of where it came from. You know, Adam Schefter's a reputable guy. And Adam Schefter of ESPN has never been involved in this story. So if this were a story that were being leaked from the Chargers side, they would have used the regular suspects. But Schefter put this out, and my guess would be that rather than it coming from the Chargers, that it probably came from another owner that he had a relationship with or directly from the league. So, yeah, I believe the report. I still will have to wait and see moving vans to believe that the Chargers are really leaving.
Well, this is a situation that, as we've talked to you in the past, quite a while ago about it, but over the last several days, it's just gaining more and more momentum. Obviously, there was the meetings, the joint meetings, I believe it was yesterday, the 11th, with the league about the Raiders potentially moving to Vegas. But it has sounded to me this whole time like this whole situation with the Chargers and whether or not they're going to L.A. and in terms of what Kroenke is willing to do to help them stay in San Diego has so much to do.
Katie, let me interrupt you. I'm sorry, because Dean Spanos has just sent a tweet out from the San Diego Chargers account. It is now the Los Angeles Chargers account. After much deliberation, I have made the decision to relocate the Chargers to Los Angeles beginning with the 2017 NFL season. There's a few more paragraphs in there, and I apologize for interrupting you. But Dean Spanos has just announced and sent that out on the new Twitter account for the Chargers. It is now official. The Chargers are gone, Scott.
Yeah, but it's official that they've said they're gone.
Sure.
So what could change here?
That they've left. Well, a lot could change. Listen, by the way, let me just say one thing in advance. For anybody that's tuning in, that's heard me on with you guys before, that has thought in the past and continues to think this morning that I'm delusional and living in denial. Those two things could absolutely be true, okay? I'll talk to my therapist about it later in the day. But a lot can change, because if what we've heard is true, that the league does not want them there, then in the next, say, 3 months, after the Super Bowl's over and when the league gets together for its next round of owner meetings, Mark Davis could still apply for relocation to Las Vegas. And let's just assume for a moment that that's what's going to happen. If Mark Davis is going to Las Vegas, in other words, if he applies for relocation and is granted relocation to Las Vegas, then Dean Spanos no longer has to worry that the Raiders would be going to L.A. In other words, when you say what changed this week, many people thought that the Raiders were going to apply for relocation immediately following the conclusion of their season. The Raiders seem to be the focal point of these meetings in New York yesterday. When the Raiders didn't apply for relocation, Dean Spanos has to worry to himself, if we were to ask for an extension and not get it, we have to make a call. If we're not prepared to make the call to go to L.A., we have to be prepared for the reality that Mark Davis might actually pounce on the L.A. market and give up this whole Las Vegas thing. So I'm still not 100% convinced that this is all fact in as much as it is continued maneuvering.
Joining us right now, Scott Kaplan from the mighty 1090 in San Diego. Let me say first, Scott, that you may be crazy and delusional, but we know all about being crazy and delusional. It was just a few years ago last week that Dana Falk, David Falk's daughter, tweeted out that Sacramento to Seattle was a done deal. So you're amongst fellow psychos in the sense that we understand where you're coming from. Here, I floated this earlier. I know this is stupid, so please don't laugh at me, but I just want somebody educated to tell me why it's stupid. Is there any chance at all if the Chargers were, I was wondering why the Chargers couldn't go to freaking Vegas if they were going to leave and the Raiders could go down to San Diego. It almost makes more sense to me because of the fan base down there for the Raiders. And as Bill Plaschke said in the LA Times today, it seems like LA is the opposite of excited about the Chargers coming up there.
They are completely unexcited. There's no interest at all in Los Angeles for the Chargers. And I would argue that there's very little appetite in the L.A. market for another NFL football team at this moment in time. You know, you can look at the Rams this year, and yeah, they were a 4-12 football team, and L.A. is that kind of a town. Unlike Sacramento, where Sacramento has the Kings, and the Sacramento fans are going to love the Kings, or at least that's my perception,
yes,
whether they're NBA champions or they're not even going to make the playoffs. That's their team, and they're going to support their team. That's how Charger fans felt here in San Diego about the Chargers. That will never be the way L.A. sports fans feel about the Chargers. When they win, people will show. When they lose, people won't. And for all the fanfare of the Rams returning to L.A., by the end of the season, the Coliseum was embarrassingly empty. Not to mention, by the way, that the television ratings in L.A., for Rams games this year were less than last year when LA football fans got the best games as decided by the networks. So this was not some grand slam in Los Angeles this year with the Rams. And now throw in another NFL football team that is poorly run, that is dysfunctional, that has a history of losing. And what is LA? Why would they ever be excited about the Chargers?
Scott Kaplan with us on KHDK. I mean, that's a great question. And then when you talk about, I mean, I'm reading things like, you know, we know the NFL gave Spanos $300 million some odd to try to make a stadium work in San Diego. It didn't happen. Now you're talking about him maybe having to pay upwards of $650 million just to relocate to L.A. Why is it not as easy as it sounds, Scott, to just, I don't know, take that relocation money, combine it with the $300 million, and build yourself a $1 billion stadium in San Diego if you love it so much?
Because Dean Spanos is not a visionary. Dean Spanos is not an entrepreneur. Dean Spanos is just a silver-spooned kid who has never in his life ever had to risk anything. And that's not me just analyzing who he is. He's a billionaire, and I'm not. And so, you know, does that mean that he's smarter than the rest of us because he inherited all of this money that his father worked so hard to make? I don't think so. And again, I last time we were on together, last time you guys invited me on, we talked about Dean's father and his father, you know, his words and his autobiography. And Dean is not, according to his father, an entrepreneur, because an entrepreneur is somebody who has to risk everything to make it all work. And you know, as Dean's father even says in his book, you can be born into money, you can double the family's fortune. That doesn't make you an entrepreneur. If Dean Spanos had an ounce of entrepreneur running through his blood the way his father did, if he had an ounce of visionary the way Stan Kroenke has, and if he had the money that a guy like Stan Kroenke has, he would have done this by himself a long time ago, but he doesn't have that in him. And let me tell you something. This could have been a great deal for him It could have been a legacy play for his family, and he just doesn't have that kind of wiring.
Scott Kaplan, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Katie.
Scott, I got to ask you, actually, something you said earlier about the move for the Coliseum being embarrassingly empty for the Rams. But you look at the Rams in that situation, that decision to move from St. Louis to where they were the 28th most valuable franchise in the NFL to in 1 year being the 6th most valuable. So how is this move for the Chargers going from San Diego to L.A. not a win-win financially for them?
Well, that's the assumption, right? I mean, the assumption is that by moving from San Diego to L.A., from moving from a mid-major market like San Diego, even though it's got the 8th largest population in the country and even though it's the 3rd largest city in California, by moving from San Diego to Los Angeles, on paper, what you've done is you've created a more valuable franchise. It's kind of like when the Angels used to be the California Angels, and then they became the Anaheim Angels. And then somebody finally came up with, well, you know what, if we call ourselves the Los Angeles Angels, we'll be worth more because people will actually believe we're part of the L.A. market. Anybody who knows that Anaheim and L.A. are two completely separate worlds. The point is this. On paper, you would say that the Chargers might be worth, call it, $2 billion.
Oh, we're losing Scott. Scott, we're having a hard time with your connection. You keep cutting out
keep
on us
in
there.
Coming in and out, going through a tunnel. Scott, you still with us?
Did I lose?
Yeah, we're losing Scott. Matt, grab him real quick. Talk about... He had a few opinions on Dean Spanos.
Yeah.
He had a couple opinions on Dean Spanos.
Excellent.
Sounds very echoed as I heard him talking. And obviously, Scott's down in San Diego. He's very passionate. He's very knowledgeable about the situation.
He's followed the situation for a very long time.
Little echoes of what you heard out of here with the Maloofs. I caught a little bit of that echo there of how a lot of people here felt about the Maloofs. Silver Spoon, inherited dad's money. Not visionaries.
Squandered it.
You certainly couldn't say they're not entrepreneurs, just not successful entrepreneurs. I mean, they've tried. Mm-hmm. You know, they with their hangover stuff and their skate park deal and
But a lot of that has just been men that have come into money because their father was a great entrepreneur.
Yes,
and then they are a fan of all these little things like the music industry, the TV industry, and then they just kind of dabble in it. It doesn't mean that's successful.
Scott's back with us. Thanks, Scott. You were you were breaking down your answer right there when we lost you.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
No problem.
Excuse me. Here the question of, aren't the Chargers immediately worth more going to Los Angeles? And my answer to that is, in theory, yes, they are. According to every financial publication and people who study these sorts of things, being an L.A.-based franchise versus a San Diego-based franchise should clearly increase your value. But wait a second. When? It's paper money. Mm-hmm. When does it really truly increase your value? When you're willing to sell the franchise. So if the franchise is worth $200 million in San Diego, or $2 billion, rather, in San Diego, and it's worth $3 billion in L.A., are you planning on selling the franchise? Now, there are all kinds of rules that the NFL has put in place that you can't just move up and sell, because that would be rather obvious. And then the other part of it is, this family has not wanted to sell this team. And why have they not wanted to sell it? Because the father gave it to the son. The son has given it to the two sons. One runs business, one runs football. I mean, this is the family business. They don't plan to sell anytime soon. So, yeah, I suppose in theory it's worth more money, but it's also going to cost them $650 million, of which they're going to have to borrow about $350 million just to make this move, to then move into somebody else's stadium and be a tenant. And just by the way, I know this franchise really well. And I know this ownership group really well. They run a very lean family operation. They need to be prepared for what it's going to take to survive, not thrive, survive in the LA market. They're going into some very deep, cold waters, whereas currently they live in a very comfortable, small, warm fishbowl here in San Diego.
Scott Kaplan, Mighty 1090, joining us on KHDK from down in San Diego. Scott, we have a little bit of a connection down to San Diego. We're here in Sacramento because one of the or a few of the minority owners and maybe the I think the most powerful minority owners of the Sacramento Kings are the Jacobs brothers. And the Jacobs, you know, Qualcomm, and that's where the San Diego Chargers play. Was there ever any talk or indication that the Jacobs were either trying to be involved or asked to be involved in any way, or they kind of stayed away from this whole thing?
Yeah, so, you know, Qualcomm Stadium, the naming rights, that was a deal done, obviously, a long time ago when, and it was a very favorable deal to the company Qualcomm because these were the early days of stadium naming rights deals, and Qualcomm put in the cash when the city really needed the money to fix up the stadium, and it was a brilliant move for Qualcomm. The Jacobs brothers are huge basketball fans. They love the NBA. They love college basketball. They also happen to be huge sports fans. But I can tell you that as huge sports fans, they did not appreciate this ownership group of the Chargers. They were never actively involved in attempting to find a local solution, because believe me when I tell you this, that if Jeff Jacobs and Paul Jacobs, the two brothers that you're talking about who are actively involved with the Kings, if those two guys, and they could have done it at the snap of a finger, if those two guys wanted to own the Chargers, they could have put together the money to do it. They could have made a very public offer to buy the team. They could have given Dean Spanos more than market value. And this city, San Diego, loves the Jacobs family and the Qualcomm company. And if this team had that ownership, it could have all gotten done here in San Diego. But you see, in the end, that's really what this comes down to, is this city and this ownership group did not have a pleasant relationship. And that's why people didn't want to support them.
Scott, I'm curious. We've talked so much about the fact that about all the relocation drama and with the ownership and the NFL, but we haven't at all talked about the players in this. And that's one of the things when Philip Rivers was redoing his contract, it was one of the issues and concerns was a move to LA. What are you hearing out from the players in this situation in terms of this news coming out?
Yeah, it's really an interesting question, because on this team right now, there are two names that NFL and sports fans around the country would know right away. They'd know Philip Rivers, and they'd know Antonio Gates. Those are the two names of the players on the Chargers that most people could probably name. After that, it would be like saying, you know, who's the sack leader from the Detroit Lions defense this year? And you'd have no idea, because nobody knows any players on the Detroit Lions unless you're a Lions fan. This is a very young football team, and when you think about players like Melvin Gordon, their first-round running back, or Joey Bosa, their first-round defensive end, or you think about some of these young players that they've infused onto this roster in the last couple of seasons, many of those guys don't have any connection or loyalty to San Diego the way that Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates have a deep-rooted affection, because those guys were here when the Chargers were good and we're winning, and we're in the playoffs, and there were 70,000 people every week at Qualcomm, and this city was electrified. Those two guys have a connection. The rest of these young guys, you can imagine what they're thinking, right? They're thinking, if I play in Los Angeles, I could become a big star. How is it that Todd Gurley, the running back of the Rams, on a 4-12 football team, can have like 10 different television commercials because he plays in L.A.? These young kids think that moving this team to L.A. means that they're all of a sudden their brands are going to explode. So Rivers, Gates, probably very sad. Young kids, probably really excited.
Final thing for you, and I'm stealing this from Adam Rank of the NFL Network, who just tweeted, if the L.A. market was saved by the bell, the Rams are Zach, the Raiders are Slater, and the Chargers will be Screech. Is that about accurate?
That is no question about it. The Chargers.
That's hilarious.
Just listen, here's the thing. You know, when you're in Sacramento, when you're in San Diego, and you're in these what we would call mid-major sports markets, you know, where in San Diego, you had the Chargers and the Padres, and now that the Chargers appear to be taking off, you have a Major League Baseball team. In Sacramento, you've got an NBA basketball team. You're a one-sport town. In L.A., you're going to have two Major League Baseball teams, two NHL hockey teams, two NBA basketball teams, two NFL football teams, and two major Pac-12 college teams for football, basketball, baseball, and obviously all the other sports, not to mention the other schools which create sports franchises in that city that play in other conferences. You're talking about going into a market that is saturated with sports, and you're a dysfunctional, unsuccessful second NFL football team. I think the Chargers, if they really go, will be in for a very rude awakening that the NFL arrogance doesn't automatically mean home run success.
Always appreciate your time and always fascinating. And I'm sure you and many San Diegans have had better days, but appreciate you talking about it and educating us a little bit, Scott. Thank you so much.
It is an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having
me on.
Take care. Appreciate that.
All right,
thanks, Scott.
Take care. It's listen.
What he said about the Raiders and their involvement in this whole thing, and that even though Dean Spanos has announced the move to L.A., it could still not happen just purely because you announce it because you don't want the Raiders to do it.
You can't go back to San Diego now, though. I
really?
Mean, is it like,
I don't know. Is that possible?
Go to Vegas.
Well, I mean, yes, it's possible. But, like, look, is there any way Dean Spanos walks away from this and doesn't look like a total D-bag?
Well, they've released the logo, by the way. Okay, so you have the letter, you have the logo. It's not like they just made this decision.
That's a little too close to the Dodgers logo.
It's very
Dodgery, don't you think?
And then this from Sam Farmer of the LA Times. This was 3 minutes ago. I retweeted it at Carmichael Dave. The Chargers have announced their relocation on Twitter, but have yet to contact the Los Angeles Rams.
Huh.
So.
Oh.
Interesting. Listen, until it happens, it happens. But all intents and purposes, the Chargers are gone. They are out of San Diego. They move. Happy are the Padres, by the way. They got to be happy about that. It's now one horse town. San Diego, Sacramento, pretty much the same exact city. We'll take a break when we return. Ken Rudolph with today's news on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, wrapping up The Drive. It is 8:48, time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th to the 22nd. Greg Popple will join us tomorrow at 8:05, Sam Amick at 7:35, basketball and football, and maybe a little insight into what the heck the Raiders are doing now that we seem to know what the Chargers are doing. Guys, do you have a guess? Every year in every sport, I try to adopt – you know, the Kings are my team, and there's no second place. But I try to adopt, like, a crappy team that I enjoy. It was the Timberwolves last year. The Jaguars.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you finish that.
You guys think you know me so well.
And we do.
Cocky. It's the Sixers. Must be the Sixers. Well, let me tell you, here's a highlight. And maybe it's not the Sixers.
Take a breath. It's okay.
You know, it's when I hear calls like that that I realize how spoiled we are.
Seriously.
That Gary Gerald has been the voice of this team since the beginning.
We play this game a lot, but how many catchphrases can you fit in there? My goodness.
So that's Tom McGinnis of the Sixers Radio Network. And I will say this. I love Gary Gerald. Let me just preface that. He's the best. He's a god to me and to many other people here. I promise you. Every freaking Sixers fan that was listening to that call was flying out of their seat and through the roof and would stand here and wag their fingers at you guys.
All 1,700 of them.
So homery, so awesome. Yeah, I'm really enjoying the 76ers, A, because they've been so crappy for so long.
They're still crappy.
They're still crappy, Dave.
They're still crappy, but they've won 5 of 10. They've won 2 in a row. They have 11 wins. By the way, they have 5 less wins than your Sacramento Kings.
I love that you
wins?
Do that.
They have 11 wins.
Wow.
I love that you do that. You can go down the list of teams that they have 5 less wins than.
I'm just saying.
It's going to be hard for them to keep that up, too, now that Joel Embiid is dead. He got murdered
by the
rim last night.
He was fine. He was dancing with the cheerleaders after the win last night.
He totally, like, he hit the rim so hard with the ball. He fell so hard and smacked his entire body on the floor.
Here's what's even, like, well, not better, but later on in the game, he tried to get all shifty-shaky on Porzingis, and the Zingas blocked him flat-footed.
Flat-footed.
And by the way, anyway. Poor Zingas, he airballed that shot that set up the McConnell victory. Joel Embiid might be the most watchable player in the NBA right now, and with the fact that he's not playing more than 30 minutes and he's scoring 20-plus points, it's pretty amazing.
He's still on a 28-minute restriction.
Yeah, that's and what he's doing in that. They're making a serious push for him to make the All-Star game this year.
Well, he's tweeting out his own name and the hashtag NBA vote.
I love Joel Embiid. I love his game. I love his personality. I love everything about him. I love the fact that this is a young, scrappy, fun team. They're about to get Ben Simmons back here in the next few weeks. And then you want to talk about their setup in the future.
Are you sure?
Well, I mean, that's what they're saying. He competed in 5-on-0 drills. I think it was 2 days ago.
You know who was excellent at that? It was Chairman Yi.
Chairman Yi? Oh, Yi Jianlian. I'm just saying, that's a fun team. They're starting to become a fun team to watch, to me. And the reason I mentioned,
I wish you could have that much fun with an 11-win Kings team.
I do. I mean, I
never
do for the good stuff.
No.
I think that because I don't take Sixers losses, though, is bad. It's all fun for me with the Sixers. I don't take the losses. And I only mentioned that they're 5 wins behind the Kings for a reason. It is not out of the realm of possibility if things went horrible. Remember, the Sixers and Kings very well could be competing for a lottery pick. That's in the future here, and that's a lot closer and more realistic than it's been in the past. So I said it with an asterisk. I enjoy watching the Sixers, and I think it's developing into a really good story. What I don't want is them to win too much, because that would be very, very bad for your Kings should things go the wrong way. Also, Nate, I have this theory in the back of my head, and we've talked about this many times. I feel that Sam Hinkie will be vindicated. I think Sam Hinkie will be vindicated. I think this team will be a playoff team for many, many years to come here very, very soon. And I think Sam Hinkie, history will shine on him as a visionary and a pioneer in how to rebuild an NBA franchise.
He got lucky, because if he were doing that,
seriously, why are you even going to argue with him on
this? But
Sam Hinkie's a fraud, and he told everyone he was a fraud.
The timing.
When did he tell everybody he was a fraud?
When he stood
up. I'm going to let you guys just go ahead. Go ahead.
Go for it.
He's slandering Sam Hinkie.
The timing of it in terms of when he did it is getting lucky. Because if he did that in past drafts where there was no one of the quality of players that he ended up getting, he's gotten lucky hitting on, like, the best player to come out in years. Like, that's luck, Dave.
Sam Hinkie?
Yeah.
Who?
Joel Embiid, like, you look at...
He got lucky with Joel Embiid, who he drafted third.
And had to wait 2 years.
And had to wait 2 years.
But
he got lucky the fact that they've been the crappiest team in the freaking world for the last...
By his design.
How long?
Design.
6-7 years? And he got one number one pick out of it. One number one pick. I would say the opposite of what you just said is true. If anything, Sam Hinkie, when it comes to lucky, has been about as unlucky as it can get. Well, the Spurs were pretty damn
Somebody
lucky.
Somebody employed him with the plan to lose.
The Spurs were lucky because they got David Robinson as the number one. Then they sucked for a year when Robinson hurt his back, and they got Tim Duncan. So let's just throw everything they did out the window. I mean, Jesus. The Sixers were about as unlucky as it could get. Yes, Nate, your point is valid. He engineered suckitude for many years.
Intentionally.
Yes.
That's an embarrassment to the NBA.
But if they win, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, by the way. I'm going overboard here, so just take that. But if they win the NBA championship in the next 5 or 6 years.
When he's nowhere around.
You're still, and they win it on the backs of Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, whoever this year's pick's going to be, the 4 lottery picks they're going to get in the next 3 years, you're still not going to give them any credit.
No.
Even though they won the championship on the –
That man is an embarrassment to the NBA. He's an embarrassment to professional sports. He's an embarrassment
if they win
to
a title, if they're a perennial playoff team.
That's why he got canned,
I am scared to death that 5 years from now, the Sixers are going to be competing for the Eastern Conference title, and we're going to still be treading freaking water to make the 8 seed. And I look over there and I go, that is how you rebuild a damned NBA team. And by the way, by that time, your worst nightmare is going to come to fruition, because Sam Hinkie will be the GM of your Sacramento Kings. He's currently in Santa Clara right now teaching at Stanford.
Hey, you know what? If it takes him running the Kings into the ground for me to be proven right on him being a snake oil salesman, then so be it.
Let me ask you this.
I am that prideful, Dave.
Explain for me the situation in which you could be proven wrong.
He would have to literally be the residing GM over a championship team. He will have to have built the roster from scratch. And I'm not talking about tanking so you get a high draft pick and then surrounding it with players that aren't even NBA-level players just so you can barely meet the salary floor. No. So he has to be the acting general manager of a championship team.
So you gave...
Or at least a championship contender.
So John Gruden gets the credit for the Tampa Bay championship, right?
Well, he gets plenty of credit for it.
Dungy?
I mean, I think Tony Dungy's a little overrated as it is.
I understand.
I mean, it's a lot like saying, does Mark Jackson get credit for the Warriors title? I mean, that's on Steve Kerr to me.
No, but I think Bob What's-His-Face, their GM, though, if he had left two years ago.
Bob What's.
Now, I'm blanking.
I know.
But if, because I want to say Bob Evans. Thank you, Bob Myers. I know it's not Bob Evans. If Bob Myers had left the Warriors 2 years ago, and they won a championship last year with this exact roster, with Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, that he built, I sure as hell do think that Myers gets a ton of credit for the championship, even if he's gone.
Well, but see, they would have been good when he left.
Huh?
If he would have left 2 years ago, they would have still been good.
And you look at the injury to Nerlens.
He would have already built a good team.
You look at the injury to Nerlens Noel, the injury to Joel Embiid. Now you got the injury to Ben Simmons. I mean, Katie's over here talking about how lucky the guy was, and I'm saying, no. Are you kidding
me? Also, like, Jaleel Okafor and Nerlens Noel might stink.
Yeah.
That is very true.
That's still within the realm.
That is very, very true, too. That is it. We'll take a long break, guys, because it's the end of the show.
Yeah, we'll take a... A 21-hour break.
6 a.m. Tomorrow morning. Greg Papa will be on with us at 8:05. Sam Amick at 7:35. Darren Collison will join us. Man, it's a packed show tomorrow.
Wow.
Jeez. Tune in and enjoy the rest of your broadcast. Yeah, it is how we roll. Sports 1140, KHTK. Bye-bye.